Order. Order.
Are there any select committee reports?
Among committee business on Thursday was a bill reforming diesel vehicle licensing laws. The Road User Charges Bill was before the Transport and Industrial Relations Committee, which heard from the Automobile Association's senior policy analyst, Mark Stockdale.
Our members expect us to be their champion on matters relating to motoring, including roading costs and charges. And we cautiously support the intent of the bill, but would like to see a greater balance between the heaviest vehicles and the majority of the diesel fleet, which is actually light vehicles.
Mr. Stockdale said light diesel vehicles were usually for private passenger use and therefore should not be subject to the same regulations as the heavier commercial fleet. And Mr. Stockdale's colleague, policy advisor Jane Gale, warned of a likely outcome if the issue wasn't addressed.
It will annoy people, and when you're annoying thousands of people, they write letters and we get them, and so will the ministry and so will the government. So we have experienced this. For when you affect 400,000 people, it's really, really good to have thought it through and to have made some analysis of what the effect is going to be on those people who are going to be negatively affected. And we just think this isn't going to sit well.
Ms. Gale urged relief for the AA's mailroom.
We think there needs to be urgently developed by the ministry some pathway for exemptions to avoid all these letters, basically. In terms of people, and we've put forward some options there, things like primary purpose, or is it passengers, in which case you're not going to carry freight, you know, if it's set up with seats, you can't put bricks in it, you know, or is it class 1 versus class 2 vehicles, that's the private versus commercial, you know, so there's some options in there.
AA policy advisor Jane Gale. Earlier in the week, and due to the House sitting in urgency, the Local Government and Environment Committee met outside usual hours on Tuesday evening to hear evidence on the Canterbury Earthquake Recovery Bill. The committee heard from the Insurance Council of New Zealand, whose Chief Executive, Chris Ryan, outlined a concern he had with the bill.
From our point of view, it tends to favour people who are not insured over people who are insured. It tends to fully compensate people who are not insured, but it limits compensation for people who are insured, potentially to the level over the insurance cover.
In the case of a necessary demolition, Mr. Ryan explained the differing scenarios for insured and non-insured building owners.
All power is given to the authority to demolish buildings, whether they're insured or not. If they're not insured, full compensation is likely to be paid to the owners. If they are insured, then the assumption is that compensation might be paid over the level of insurance, but there are a number of technicalities that come in there which mean that probably insured parties may be disadvantaged. And that would be possibly that their level of insurance is not high enough, or that they're only insured within their policy for the value of the damage to the building, not for the total building. So if it's totally demolished, they may only be covered for the value of repairing the building, not for the whole value of the building.
Insurance Council Chief Executive Chris Ryan. Also appearing was the Legislation Advisory Committee, represented by Law Commission Deputy President Dr. Warren Young. He voiced concern about the lack of time allowed for building owners to respond to a government demolition notice.
Once that notice has been given, then the owner has 5 days to respond, stating that the owner intends to carry out the work and specifying a time within which the works will be carried out. And I should note that that's obviously at the owner's cost. 5 days, given that the work is to be done at the owner's cost, seems an extraordinarily short period, given that the response is also to include the time frame within which it will be done, how owners are supposed to get competitive tenders, or indeed any tenders at all, within that time frame, given the pressure there will be on contractors to do it, we're not at all clear.
Dr. Young was also critical of the penalties for not complying with the 5-day time frame.
Then they commit an offence, punishable by what we regard as the extraordinarily high maximum penalty of a $200,000 fine. If you respond after 6 days, then you're liable to that sort of penalty. And that does seem to us to be draconian, given the nature of the breach here.
Dr. Warren Young giving evidence to the Local Government and Environment Committee looking at the Canterbury Earthquake Recovery Bill on Tuesday evening. and after hearing further evidence in Christchurch on Wednesday, the committee reported the bill back to the House on Thursday, where it passed under urgency just before 6pm. Parliament is adjourned for a fortnight and no select committee meetings are scheduled for next week. I'm Rhys Lyon, and this program was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.